the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus Christ. What earthly sweetness is not mixed with grief? So we sing at an Orthodox funeral service. It seems to be a clear biblical pattern that which is good is soon followed by evil. That all that is good and holy and salvific from God soon receives an evil counterattack or response. Going back all the way to Adam and Eve in the garden, in paradise, God had created human life in His own image as the crown of His creation, and He declared it to be very good. And Adam and Eve had peace and joy and blessed communion with God in the midst of the garden of paradise. And Adam gave names to all the animals as God brought each of them to him. It was all good, as they say today. Man's life was in perfect and peaceful order and harmony with God and with the rest of creation. Of course, we all know the story. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, the serpent appears suddenly, without warning, mysteriously, and brings temptation and an opposing voice to God. A voice which opposes God's voice. And leads man to a fall from grace, a disruption of communion and loss of paradise, a fall from communion with God, a spoiling of all that was good. God counters ultimately with the incarnation, the birth of God in human flesh of the Virgin Mary, the birth of the new Adam, come to heal and repair the old Adam, and to restore the communion of paradise. Wise men came to worship him, God born in the flesh, Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ. But an unwise man, Herod, lurked in the background and sought to kill the young child. The beginning of our salvation from the fall had begun with the birth of Christ, and quickly forces were at work to try and undo what God had done. The Holy Family had to flee to Egypt, and Herod slaughtered the holy innocents. 14,000 of them, as the church numbers, remembered every year on December 29th, the slaughter of the holy innocents. Extraordinary good was followed soon after by extraordinary evil. Extraordinary evil. St. Cyril of Alexandria, one of the great fathers of the church, who taught the true identity of Christ, wrote, "The incarnation of the Word and his assumption of human nature took place for the overthrow of death and destruction and of that envy nourished against us by the wicked serpent, who was the first cause of evil. God comes to overthrow the works of Satan, which are sin and death, to defeat the wicked serpent, the first cause of evil." As we read in 1 John, the first epistle of John, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So Christ's very incarnation was to attack against the devil. And in Bethlehem, the evil one desperately lashes out, attempting to disrupt God's plan. And in the Holy Day, we're about to celebrate the Feast of Theophany, what happens? Christ is baptized. He is revealed and declared as the only begotten Son of God, become man, the voice from the Father announcing him, the Spirit resting upon him. And then he goes out into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan for 40 days. Evil follows after good, pursuing, stalking. And in the case of the temptation, Christ goes forth to take on Satan and to resist him through fasting and determination to take his best shot and to defeat him. St. Hippolytus of Rome, an early church writer, said, "With this purpose did the God of all things become man, that is, in order that by suffering in the flesh, which is susceptible to suffering, he might redeem our whole race, which was sold to death, and that by working wondrous things by his divinity, which is unsusceptible to suffering, through the medium of the flesh, he might restore it to that incorruptible and blessed life from which it fell away by yielding to the devil." Man had yielded to the devil. God became man. God become man would not yield to the devil. He resisted the devil on behalf of each and every one of us and defeated his designs. Adam had yielded to the temptation of the devil. The new Adam would resist and defeat the tempter. Brothers and sisters, this biblical pattern of evil following after good continued forward. The church was born, the church was martyred, and suffered persecution. Times of earthly peace did come, but did not last. God pushes forward, evil pushes back. And so it is that this biblical reality of good and evil plays out in the life of every Christian soul. St. Paul explains it this way: "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God in the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Though he desires good, he sees in himself evil close at hand. The desire for good, to pursue the good, one's good desire to go to church, one's determination to pray, our desire to be good, to live righteously, is always countered. And the way we are countered is often quite subtle and is manifested in our own pride. A certain self-satisfaction we get after doing something for God. Pride stalks our good works. St. Nikolai of Serbia said, "Pride is the wide window through which all our merits and good works quickly blow away." Pride takes away all our good reward. Our good efforts can be readily spoiled by pride, by self-satisfaction. We're proud that we fasted for Advent, as hard as it was. But then, having congratulated ourselves, we fall during the feast. We make a good spiritual effort, but then we judge someone else and we lose our reward. Knowing that evil follows after good, let us not give up our efforts to be faithful, but let us understand the terms of engagement, with watchfulness and readiness. If Christ was tempted, brothers and sisters, so will we continue to be tempted. The servant is not greater than his master. If we desire to be with Christ, we will be tempted as well. There is no lasting peace in the life of a Christian. No lasting peace. We pray in the baptismal service, make the person ever a warrior invincible. A warrior invincible. The Holy Fathers and Mothers went out into the desert specifically to fight Satan. Specifically there to fight Satan, to do the works of God, to seek communion with God, for Christ to have victory over their lives, for holiness to flourish, and thereby to defeat the devil and his works. So brothers and sisters, now is not yet the time for rest. It's not yet the time for rest, but a time for work. To stand up to temptation, to stand together with Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, Holy Scripture tells us. And what is that whole armor of God that the church would point to? Worship, communion, prayer, confession, fasting, charity. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The Word of God calls us to stand. to stand up, to take a stand, to be fearless. Satan was defeated in every attempt to thwart Christ. Brothers and sisters, may his losing record continue in the soul of each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.